whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgives you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity.
So, what are some of the things found within Colossians 3, 12 through 14, that Pat just read, that sticks out to you, that would be our attitude as we come together to worship? What do you see there?
Humility.
Humility, okay.
Patience,
yes, okay. And working together, you know, as we saw in Philippians 1:27, we read about striving together, but how that would work into working together and everything. Wanting to please God, having humility, giving up selfish things, little whims that we might have, in deference to maybe another. We'll talk about that. Come on in, Margaret. Yeah. And serving others. Galatians 5:24-26. Lauren, you want to read that?
And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Okay, that's through 26. Okay. Walking by the Spirit. Not being boastful. Not challenging one another. Not being envious of one another. And you say, well, what's that got to do with the Lord's people? You know, but do you see that maybe some of these attitudes might creep in to the local church? And that's why Paul is writing to the churches that there's a problem, there's a danger of these things happening. The Holy Spirit wants us to strive to be like-minded, to be united in spirit, intent on bringing glory to God with one purpose. That is our purpose, to serve God, to honor God, and to build one another up in the faith. And so this means examining Scripture like we've been doing. It means examining myself. It means changing what I need to change to be better at this. And so it also means sacrificing my every little whim or my every little want as things come up in the congregation. I might not like, you know, something just like somebody, you know, but if it's decided by the group that this is what we're going to do, then I should, you know, be a team member and do that and not complain, not grumble, not sulk. Not go over here and get my little party and, you know, and cause division. And you say, well, surely that doesn't happen. It happened in the New Testament in the first century, and it's happened through the ages, and it's big time happening in the Lord's church today. And so we need to study and pray and guard against these things creeping in to my heart and to myself. It means that I'm willing to forgive when wronged. You know, that sometimes is really hard, is to forgive others. And it means that I shouldn't be too proud to go and ask forgiveness of others. Remember Matthew 18 and Matthew 6 talks about, if you've done something and you remember that you've done something against someone, you leave your gift at the altar and you go and make it right. And then you come back and offer your sacrifice. In Matthew 18, someone has wronged you, you go and try to work it out. And so it's not easy being a part of a team. It's not easy to always be loving. It's not easy always to be patient. It's not easy to be selfless. But we should grow in that and pray about it and strive to be better as we serve others. We need to diligently work. That's labor hard towards our salvation together with great reverence. Any other thoughts as you read those passages? Okay, we're going to get our song book because we sing some really good songs that I think is a great encouragement. This is we're here talking about our song service. Let's turn to page 454. And sometimes we sing prayers. Okay? Sometimes we sing to try to encourage self as we encourage others, you know, too. So, 454. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All is wonderful, passion and purity. May His Spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You know what? When I sing this song, I know it's singing to others, but I tell you what, it does me more good to say, when somebody has been so unkind to me, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. From the dawn of the morning to close of day, an example in deeds and in all you I say. Lay your gifts at His feet, ever try to strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you, in me. We sing this, hopefully from the heart, prayerfully. And if we sing it with reverence, we're going to do those things that help us to be better at this. Not just take status quo. Not just lean on, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, and, you know, we're all that we can be. But strive to get better at this. Then we can sing this with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and God will see that we mean what we say when we strive to back it up. If it's vain words, if it's just words in the wind, it's not going to be pleasing to God. Now, it may help our brother. It may, you know, because we're sitting there and we're singing, but it's not going to help me a bit. God sees. Okay. Any thoughts about this song before we leave it? Psalm 394. This is love one another. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far. For a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. And then the chorus is, love one another, children obey the blessed command. the Father's blessed command. And then repeat it. So much about loving one another. The Father wants us to love one another. He said, imitate me. You know, God so loved, Christ so loved. If we're followers and children of God, we will love one another like He loved us. We'll never get to that plateau of that kind of love, but we should strive. And one of the things that we need to strive in trying to get better at is our words to one another. And not angry words, but other words too, you know, that will hurt or not will tear down and not build up. Even in jesting sometimes, you know, we can hurt someone. So let's be aware of our surroundings and things that are going on and try to build up with our words. Any thoughts about that? One more. Let's try, we do others, and I think 92 is another song that it's a personal prayer to God, and we sing this. It's sort of like one of those Psalms of David, you know, where it was a prayer, a petition, and this is a personal prayer to God about others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Don't know exactly, you know, that last verse, what it's talking about there, you know. But the essence of the song is a prayer to God that my life be spent serving others instead of serving self. And getting better at that. Can we pray this and still fail sometime in this? We will. Thank God for God's grace. Thank God for Jesus' blood that keeps on cleansing when we repent and try to do better. But I fail at this. But I look to God for His mercy. And we should all try to be better as we come together, not only in the service together, but outside our service assembly, that we should be thinking about serving others. Any thoughts or anything like that? Because if the reason I bring this up, Steve had a lesson on Matthew 25. That if we don't serve others, God's going to judge us for that. And it does matter to God. And it matters how we approach God's throne for mercy. It matters if we don't do it, how we worship Him with a pure heart and a good conscience. If we know that we have failed and don't seek His forgiveness, and we come and we take the Lord's Supper and we sing and we pray, God sees our hearts. And so, to me, it's important to strive in these things. because I think that it affects our acceptance of worship to God and to give Him the true reverence that He needs. Any thoughts along that line? Okay. As I just said, I think that our song service, I asked you that question, can our song service be affected if we ignore the principles that we just were talking about over in Philippians and in Colossians and in Galatians? And I really do think the answer is yes. And we all know about Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We all know where envy and pride and divisions and strife and partyisms and grumbling caused discouragement and did not edify. And the Holy Spirit gets on their case through Paul. And it was not pleasing to God, and it affected the worship, and it affected the church as a whole. And so you say, okay, so how does that relate to us? How might pride and selfishness and envy or grumbling, how might that, if we had this at Humble, how might that affect our worship? Think it would? How do you think it might appear? How might pride creep in? What might happen just in our song service? What might happen there? Let's take song leaders. We're singers here. But what about song leaders? We have husbands. We have sons. We have grandsons. We have children in Christ. We have brothers in Christ. We have these people who lead our service in song. And we do not want these things to creep in to their mindset, to creep into their service. But how might pride or get in the way of a song leader doing his job that would be pleasing to God? How might that appear?
Are you asking on our part?
Yeah. How do you think pride or partyisms or grumbling in a song leader might affect us? How might it appear?
Well, I attended somewhere in the past where there was a man who would openly say he was the best song leader in the congregation, and as a result, when he would lead singing, he would lead so loud, so his voice was heard, that it overshadowed the collective group singing together as he pridefully projected his voice over everyone else.
Amen. I've got that as number three on my list. I've seen it. Okay. Song leaders that vie for predominance. I've seen it. It's horrible. They often grumble to their mate. They often grumble to their little party because someone else of lesser ability has been chosen to, like, lead the singing in a gospel meeting, say. Just for instance, and they haven't been asked. Or we strive to bring in others to learn how to lead singing, and they may not do as good a job. And so he's grumbling about that and going around and causing strife about that. That can happen. Party lines have actually been drawn with that. if they don't set their heart to lead songs that is edifying to the group, if they just have their little favorite songs, and that's what they sing, if they lead songs that they like and the congregation don't know them, that's not edifying. We need to learn new songs, maybe. But if we sing all the songs while we're assembled together for worship and nobody, hardly anyone knows it, we can't sing praises to God. I can't worship God if I don't, you know, if I can't sing. Toy. Yes.
But wouldn't you think that someone leading a new song and that singing it would be practice in doing it? Because that would help you learn a new song.
That's true. Maybe at a singing, you know, or together, maybe song practice, maybe a singing at a home, but all new songs in worship service, to me, I may be wrong in my judgment, does not tend to be edifying to the whole group.
Did anyone you say else? All new songs or a new song?
No. Well, if they're all fairly new songs and you know, at one new song, trying to learn it, you know.
Sometimes a song leader doesn't know, everybody doesn't know.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're not, that's right.
The
song leader does not know that the crowd does not know it. If no one else hardly is singing, a good, discerning man will pick up on that and maybe change the song or help the group, you know. Then try the first verse again. We've done that before. Okay? But just some thoughts to try to edify one another. But this person that I'm talking about didn't care. They did what they did. Just like a man that was a song leader in Louisville where I attended. I mean, he was going to sing those songs as fast as he wanted to, and it didn't matter if people couldn't get the words out fast enough and especially know what they were saying. Or so slow that a song like I'm Pressing on the Higher Ground or Sing to Me of Heaven sounds like we're fixing to jump off into a tar pit, you know, because it's, and we're being shoved in because it's so slow and there's no joy. So we can encourage, we can praise our song leaders. I'm talking about genuinely. We can privately talk to them if there is a problem. There's a way of doing that. One woman I knew way back made it her mission in life to correct every missed pitch, every missed spoken word at the Lord's table, and even if the preacher said a wrong verse or something like that, it was her job to correct. Patience, discernment, love was not in her vocabulary or approach. She did so much harm instead of being maybe a person who could, you know, by her knowledge, because she was very knowledgeable, except in the area of loving one another in a right way, to equip others to maybe be better in edifying as a song leader or someone at the Lord's table or someone who's given a talk. So, we need to watch our heart. We need to use God's wisdom, and we need to use grace when sometimes that occasion might rise.
Linda, yes. I know of a congregation where the elders only want the best song leaders to lead on Sunday morning. And I always had a problem with that because I felt like that was discouraging to the other people. And their reasoning was they want to sound their best in case they have visitors or whatever. I don't think visitors would judge a congregation on how bad or good or bad the singing is. Hopefully
I'm wrong. Hopefully it's not bad all the time.
Because you don't have your best song leader up there.
That's exactly right.
But I thought it was a prideful approach. You know, I mean, to me, it has to do with what you were asking about pride.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than letting everybody have, you know, rotating evenly, you know, they were particular about how that went.
Mm-hmm. Keisa was saying was one of my points also. That they just lord over, you know, the entire congregation. That can not only be a song leader, but it can be somebody sitting on the pew. And they don't care. They don't care if they're following the leader or not. I've been in a congregation where that was the situation.
Singing.
You know, as a group. Yes, Tammy.
So it sounds like a lot of things you're saying are really what's in their heart, what's their motivation.
Exactly. We've had a couple of children who, I mean, they sing with all their might and everything. But sometimes, you know, I know one parent who said, you know, it's wonderful to sing out and to glorify God, you know, in the singing, and his heart was in it and everything, but it was distracting because he was screaming, you know. And so sometimes it can be distracting. But, you know, God is the one who judges the hearts. Yes.
So what way would you go around that if a kid is loud, but you don't want to discourage him because he can completely back away?
Right.
So what would you think the best way is, you know, tell your child?
Anybody have a suggestion?
I think you would have to approach it from the standpoint that there's a difference between singing and screaming. Maybe practice at home with them. Sing with them at home. And I think there's a difference between singing and screaming. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another thing. Sometimes we need to listen. We need to sing out. Whether the person sitting in the pew next to us is or not, we need to sing out.
Right.
But there's a difference in singing out and singing out with a heart rather than singing to be kind of like the song leader, loud enough that everybody in the congregation can hear you. And children sometimes have to be taught that distinction.
Yes.
That, you know, like if they're in a choir. When they get older and they get in a choir, they're not going to be allowed to do that. But we need to teach that we're here to worship God, and God hears us. We want to sing out where others can hear us, but not so loud that we drown out everybody else around us. We worshiped in a congregation one time where there was a woman, and she was a good woman, but she always sang off key, and she always sang too loud. And I don't know if it was something that she didn't learn when she was younger, that, you know, you've got to hear, I mean, just because somebody's sitting to you is not singing, that's one thing. But if you don't try to sing to out-sing, to sing louder than the person, that's not the purpose of it. I'm going to sing out to what I think I should to glorify God. But if the next person is louder than me, that's okay. Let them be louder than me. I do. And children need to be taught that. And that's a job, if that's a job for parents. And
I
do
think,
it in love.
Yes. And I think the key is intentional, the heart, you know, we can start early teaching our children that. Even when they're in class, I've taught different ages in class, and there's always that very smart, very knowledgeable, always got their lesson child, and they want to answer every question. But that's not good for the other students. You know, you have to take turns. And so just learning how to be a part of the whole sometime, and think of others. And like you said, though, not squash their spirit, but just learning some of the rules of one another. And in a loving way. And like you say, you know, because you don't want them to not sing. You don't want them to not want to praise God with their little hearts, because that's what we're trying to get them to do. And so it is discretion. As a parent, you're going to know your child best. That's why the parent was the one taking care of that, you know, at the time. And it also behooves the rest of us not to mumble and grumble and go out and talk about it and, you know, and say, why doesn't the mother do something? That's the kind of attitude we're trying to get away from. And so let's just keep these thoughts in mind. Also, I know people who, they don't care whether they're with the song leader or the rest of the group or not. They're just going to do their thing. And there's a lot of that kind of attitude, thank God, not here, but in the charismatic movement, in denominational singing and everything. I mean, they're saying all these kinds of different things. They're about halfway aligned behind the leader, but they don't care. They don't try to learn to be with the group. Personally, I think, God knows their heart. Personally, I think that distracts from the worship. We have to be careful not to let that happen. If that's happening, keep our mind focused. Yes, Pat?
There are different cultures, though, that their singing is different. And we have people like Candace mm-hmm. and even Mark that they sing, and they're not always saying the same words at the same time. They harmonize. They're harmonizing. And I don't think their heart is just to glorify themselves or to distract anybody. So we also, as we listen, and someone's a little different than we are, maybe because their culture's different or where they part of the country they were raised in or whatever. So we have to be very careful that we're not sitting there, and because they're not singing exactly like I am and like I think they should, that I judge their heart and say they're prideful or they're just wanting to disrupt the worship or whatever. So that's just a caution we need to throw in there, because some people maybe can't keep up as good, so maybe they're a half a beat behind. It's not because they're wanting to be different or anything. So we need to be singing to be sure that our heart is right and not judging the people sitting on the pew with us. If there is someone that we feel like is distracting or causing a problem in the congregation, go talk to them lovingly, right, but not judging them and saying, you're just wanting to cause trouble here, or you're just wanting everybody to hear you.
Absolutely.
Because that's not necessarily true. It may be, but not necessarily true.
Right. And it's the key is all things be done orderly and properly. So, you know, as long as it doesn't get things, you know, just totally out of order, like speaking in tongues, about three of them together, you know, and that kind of thing, or even with the translator and stuff like that, that was prevalent in the Corinth church. So, you know, we have to be careful and work towards unity and in orderly, reverent worship. All really good thoughts there. As a singer, there's a problem in the Lord's church, a big problem. We can have a spirit of partyism. We can exalt certain song leaders to a position of honor that is not appropriate. They may not even want it. But, you know, we tend to do that. Sometimes that has happened in the Lord's church. We need to guard against those kinds of things. And we need to guard against mumbling and grumbling if somebody misses a pitch. And you know what, my heart, I'm coming back to me. Am I sitting there on the pew someone is really off key, it's dragging the fire out of a joyous song, and my heart is so caught up in mumbling and grumbling that I'm not thinking about what I'm saying. I'm wrong. My words to God meant nothing. So I need to straighten up me when that happens. And that's happened. I'm guilty. Yeah. Yes?
So is there ever a point in which a song leader is so distracted, can be distracting?
Yes.
Themselves?
Yes.
And because they don't know.
Right.
Can that ever happen?
Absolutely. So what do you think is a proper way to address that? Be like this woman, just amen right to them and, you know, give them what for. That's not the way to handle that. Patient, loving, kindly, take them aside. Or suggest to one of the other song leaders that they're close to maybe get with them. Some of these song leaders, they help one another. Some of them that know music a little bit more, help the other guys, you know. Every person's gift is not the same. Every man in the congregation should not lead singing unto edification for the group. Wally Otterback would be the first to say, although he's led a few, but he's not a song leader. Okay? He knows that. He knows music, but he's not a song leader. And so, the edifying of the group, that's why we're here. To help one another worship God reverently together for the building up of the saints. So, other questions about that before we leave that?
You were talking about the song leader and what they can do to be distracting and so forth. I've known being in other congregations where the guys will show up, not have their songs picked out, pick their songs out and go up there and lead and expect to do a good job in leading the congregation, and it completely falls apart because they haven't taken the time to look at their songs and to prepare when they come to lead the congregation.
Right. If that is a habit. Sometimes men get caught.
Sometimes you show up and
nobody.
It is like chameleon singing. I mean, that
yes.
seems to keep all the time.
Right.
But it's just
a habit.
When you know it's coming and you're not prepared.
Absolutely. And that, you know what? I think that can be true. People serving at the Lord's table, people leading prayer. What kind of forethought? What kind of preparation? We come and sit on the pew as a person that's going to open up my psalm book and open up my Bible, partake of the Lord's Supper, I should prepare my heart. I should pay attention. And so therefore, we should strive together, you, me, to do that. And I think that's a very good point that Melissa makes. Like I say, we have husbands, we have sons, we have grandsons. If we see maybe a problem, or we see that maybe we can encourage them in some way, do it in a loving way, in private. And be a mother in Israel. Be a wife that encourages. Be a sister that encourages. And so that we all can have a better worship service to God. And we're going to stop there, Lord willing. We will start with three. God warns. We have studied all these things together about examples of song service and singing praises to God and the different kinds of songs throughout the Bible. We have studied about the heart. And now we're going to see the what if. God warns if we don't pay attention. And so, Lord willing, we're going to finish that and go through this. Hopefully, one or two lessons. I will have one more handout, but it's on some songs in the book that we'll be looking at. And so, I am running off some of those so that you'll have them with your work. Others, it's just a couple of questions. We'll turn to the song number in the book as we go through it. And so, Lord willing, we'll finish that.